Welcome to the Oakland Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Associate Pastor Jeremy Barkley. It's our prayer that this message encourages you and strengthens you. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.
All right. Well, good morning, church. God is good and all the time. Do you mean that this morning? Do you know that this morning? Right? It's good to be in the house of the Lord. These are exciting times that we live in. Amen. It's been a full week. We need to be praying. We need to be praying for Syria and Turkey. They had a massive earthquake this week and over 20,000 people perished. This is an opportunity for the church to take what the enemy sent for evil and turn it for good. Amen. And so we need to be praying that the church stabilizes and grows and takes this opportunity to minister and runs with it. And we have been saying for a long time that we are living in the days of revival. We are living in the days of revival. And I'm excited that I really feel like Oakland carries a mantle of influence for the days ahead. Not because we're so good or because we're so prepared, it's because there are new wells and old wells that are gonna merge together in this season. And I pray that you are prayed up and you are prepared. Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, amen. Today we're gonna talk about fulfillment. I think it's no coincidence that we're talking about fulfillment on the weekend of the Great Asbury Revival of 2023. And it's just the beginning, church. It's just the beginning, church. If you have your Bibles, we're going to talk about fulfillment in our series called Maranatha. I'm going to start in Matthew 24, verses 36 through 44. We may not come here, back here, but we're going to start here. Hear the word of the Lord. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as in the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. For in these days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be in the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in a field, and one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other will be left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known the hour that the thief would come, he would have watched over the house and not allowed the house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour that you do not expect. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your fulfillment. Father, I thank you, Lord, that every promise that's ever been spoken, every prophecy that's come from the heart of the Father will or has come to pass. Lord, that your track record is 100%. And so, Father, Lord, we pray that, Lord, in these moments together, Lord, as we open up your word and we talk about what is to come, and Lord, not only in the second coming, but what is to come in our lives, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would sharpen us. I pray that you would prepare us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would purge us of anything that is out of order and out of alignment. Hide me behind the cross, Lord, that you would be seen and heard only. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. We are absolutely living in a time and in an age of fulfillment. There are about 100 prophecies that the Lord has yet to fulfill, and I believe that we are going to see either all of them or many of them in our age, amen? We are seeing revivals come to pass. The third great awakening has begun in the name of Jesus. 1 billion soul harvest has begun in the name of Jesus. That should make some of you a little bit more excited, amen? But here's the truth. Here's the truth. Know this about revival. It is never void of repentance. The Lord has to cut the heart. He has to circumcise the heart into obedience and surrender and alignment under His Spirit. Amen? And I'm so thankful that what we're seeing down in Asbury right now is confession and mercy and grace, amen, and signs and wonders. So it's not all about signs and wonders. It's about repentance, because the Lord is building His church. And so how do we step into that stream? We do not hitch our wagon to Asbury. We hitch it to Jesus. Amen? We cannot try to copy their model. We cannot try to sing their songs or pray their prayers. We need to get low in the presence of God in this season. I can taste it. We need to get hungry, and we need to start thirsting for righteousness. Amen? That's the church. That's the bride of Christ, and that's what's going to bring those that you love, that are wayward, that you've already written off, that's what's going to bring them home. When they start to see forgiveness, things that they cannot explain. We are living in the days of fulfillment. I started to think about that word fulfillment in my life and what it has meant. I remember being 12 years old at a Nazarene camp, and we were at a Brian White concert. He's written many songs now. And the concert was supposed to be about 2 hours, and about 5 hours in, we were still having testimonies, and people were giving their life to Christ. And I had been wrestling with a call to ministry for about 2 or 3 years as a young boy. And I remember standing on a stage and looking at a bunch of strangers and declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life, and I was going to give my life to ministry. And I didn't know what it was going to look like, but I believe we are living in the fulfillment of that now. I remember 11 years ago being down and out and sick and full of anxiety and depression and thinking that I had a handle on this because I had had 10 years of social work ministry where I got to be in doctor's offices and know about medications. And I thought I had everything I needed to never dip into that. But you know what? God decided to take me through that fire to bring me through the other side. And I remember getting alone with him at an altar of prayer, and I remember going upstairs in that sanctuary because it's an open heaven. And I remember saying, Lord, if you will just heal me, if you will just heal me, I will give my life to you, I will give my family to you, and I will kick the devil's butt. And I believe that we are in the fulfillment of those days, amen, because he brought me through a season that even doctors said would never happen. But I have someone that's greater than a doctor. He's a great physician. Amen. And I want to tell you that if God spoke it over your life, if he spoke it over your marriage, if he's spoken it over your children, he will bring it to pass. That's who he is. He's not a man that he should lie. And I love that he's not a respecter of persons. Couple definitions we just want to get anchored in. One for fulfillment is the achievement of something desired, promised, or predicted. The meeting of a requirement or condition. Another word is culmination. It's the highest or climactic point of something. We're reaching the climax, church. Especially something as attained after a long time. We can rest in full confidence this morning that God finishes what he starts in our lives, not only on the earth, but in the heavens. But here's the thing, church, and here's the word for some of you. Some of you know the promise, but you've lost your focus. Many of us choose to focus our attention on the how of fulfillment, when our heart's posture must be to submit only to the who of fulfillment. If I just keep my eyes on Jesus, who is what? The author. So if I keep my eyes on the author's hand, when he writes the story, I'll know the beginning from the end. Some of us are trying to figure some things out. And you know what? Maybe he loves you enough not to tell you what he wants to do. Because some of you would abort mission. Maybe he just wants to surprise you because he loves you so much. I love to surprise those that I love the most, right? Maybe that's who he is. Maybe that's what he wants to do. Maybe that's what he desires to do. And so here's the reminder today that he alone is our fulfillment. He is the fulfillment of all plans, all purposes, all provision, and all prophecy. Matthew 25 says this, but when the Son of Man comes in who? In his glory. He's all about his glory, church, and all the angels with him. Then he will sit on what? His glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him. Even those who don't believe in him now will have to bow and have to sit and have to gaze upon his beauty in the fulfillment. It also tells us in Revelation, it says that he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. And to the thirsty, there's the key. Sometimes he has to let your flesh die before he can pour out his spirit. And to the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. In the great and glorious fulfillment of the promised return of our Messiah, Jesus Christ, there will be resurrection. There will be renewal. There will be joy unspeakable and full of glory. Somebody say amen. Amen. There will also be separation and judgment and victory over the enemy and the restoration of all creation. So this morning, what will that look like for us? Next week, Pastor Randy is going to look at the new beginning, the new heaven and the new earth. So today, what I'm going to look at is the fulfillment and how that practically relates to us in our relationship with the Father and also in the new heaven. And so number one, in the fulfillment and culmination of all things, we will be, number one, home. Look at your neighbor and say, home. It's good to be home, isn't it? My prayer is that when you walk through these doors, you feel like you're home. You know, when you're home, the misunderstood is understood. When you're home, messy looks a lot like grace. You know, when you're home, there's rest. And there's respite. There's refuge. When you're home, there's belonging and there's unity. And ultimately, there's peace. Dorothy had it right when she said to the great Wizard of Oz in the Emerald City, there is no place like home. Amen? Home is a place of community and provision and family. And some of us in our earthly mind, in our earthly existence, in our finite, in our fleshly understanding, we can't imagine on this side of Christ's fulfillment a home that looks like a kingdom household. We've experienced some stuff. Over 13 years of ministry, I've had the opportunity to minister to every generation. And I think some of the most maturity has come walking with people who are going through the transition from this life to the next. And I can tell you, the majority of the time, if the last time I visited them will be the last time I visit them. Because typically there's this pivot that happens within their will. They start to submit their will in the flesh and start to align their spirit with the will of God in the heavenlies. And I don't know how many times I've visited with people and I've anointed them and they said, I just want to go home. It's not that they're giving up. It's that their assignment here on the earth is fulfilled. And there's something within them that's longing to go back to the one who knew them before they were in their mother's womb. That's the cry of our hearts, church, is to go home. And so if you're not dead, you're not done. But you can still have a cry in your heart to go home and to be with the one who made you and the one who created you and the one who's provided for you and the one who's been faithful and true. Amen? When I say home, I'm thinking, you know, home is greater than house, isn't it? Home is much greater than house because in John 14, verses 2 and 3, it says, in my Father's house there are many mansions or dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go and I prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare that place for you, I will, promise, come again and receive you unto myself. I will take you. I will receive you like a husband receives a bride. Amen. That where I am, there you may be also. I don't know if you know this or not, but in Jewish tradition, the father of the bridegroom, in preparation to receive the new bride of the son into the family and the covenant with this new family, would build an extension onto the already existing family home. And that's what the Lord, when he ascended to the heavens, that was one of his mission statements, is to go and to build a place, a dwelling place, a secret place for you and I, that we would be grafted in as sons and daughters into his home, into his likeness, into his majesty, into his glory. Amen? We are grafted in. And so when I say kingdom, I want you to think family, because that's what the kingdom is. The kingdom is a family, and home is him. And Revelation tells us that there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and it will carry some of the same attributes and images and formatting of this prior area. But you know what there won't be? There will be no temple, and there will be no sun, and there will be no moon. Why will there be no temple? Because now we are the temple, but in glory, he will be the temple. Now he lives and he reigns within us, transforming us from the inside out, evicting our flesh. But when we see him face to face and we are called home in the fulfillment, we will find him as our resting place. He will be our portion, amen. He is our home. He is our temple. And there will be no need for the sun and the moon and the light that is reflected from them, because he alone will be our light. He alone will shine in the darkness. Amen? He is our home. In Romans 11, it says this, "For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory of God." Amen. And so in the fulfillment and culmination of all things, we will be, number two, whole. Look at your neighbor and say, whole. I want to be whole. You know, we talked about this about a month ago, but you can never talk enough about the power of the blood of Jesus to make those things that are broken healed and whole again. And when we are whole, we will be whole emotionally, physically, and spiritually. You know, we know this one thing that is sure here on this side of Christ's fulfillment. That we live fully in the in part portion of our existence. We only experience the in part portion. And you know, we experience within our earthly bodies and our earthly minds and our emotions is in part. I don't know about you, but I am tired of the in part portion. And you know why? Because I think that spiritual maturity in Christ longs for the fullness. But I just want to remind you, as you're still here, that the fractions of heaven will always outweigh the fullness of earth. That's good, isn't it? The fractions of heaven. Better is what? One day in your courts than what? 1,000 elsewhere. Better are the fractions of heaven than the fullness of anything upon the earth. And so you don't know, I don't know about you, but I am tired of dealing with fractions, and I won't have to deal with fractions anymore. Why? Because I will receive the fullness of my inheritance as a son of God. It says in 1 John chapter 3, and I'm going to read out of the Message version. What marvelous love the Father has extended to us. Just look at it. We're called children of God. That's who we really are. That's also why the world doesn't recognize us or take us seriously, because it has no idea who he is or what he's up to. But friends, that's exactly who we are. We are children of God, and that's only the beginning. Who knows how we'll end up? And what we know is that when Christ is openly revealed, we will see him. And hear this, church. And in seeing him, we will become like him. And in seeing him, not only will I get to see him, but what's on him will fall on me, and I will be like him. He does not withhold any good thing from his children. He is so secure in his authority and his position as Lord that he would make us like him. In the flesh, we would never do that. We would always withhold some fraction so that someone doesn't attain or move up to our level. But not with Jesus. Not in the fulfillment. You will be like him. Amen. Why? Because you are a child of the King. And there is nothing that he would withhold from his children. Hold fast to that, church. You will be like him when you see him. In the fulfillment of this earth and on the heavens, it will bring us into this alignment and fulfillment of this culmination of our own existence with him. But here's the thing. Eve was wrong. The devil was wrong. He's not holding out on me. Amen? He has something prepared for me. And then not only will there be a fulfillment of sonship, because there's a spirit that's within us, the scriptures say, that cries out, Abba, Father, but there will be a fullness of salvation. There will be a fulfillment of every prophecy. Our faith will be full substance, and every single letter of this word will be fulfilled. You hear that? If you want to be ready, you better get this in you, because he's going to fulfill it. He's not going to discard it. He's not going to throw it away. He's not going to disregard it. He's not going to downplay it. He's going to fulfill it. Every single word, every single prophecy, we need to eat, church. We need to know his word. My people perish from a lack of what? Knowledge. If you want to be whole, then you need to eat good food, right? Quit eating the filler. Quit eating the filler of the world. Quit eating the filler of your scroll, right? Eat the word. Get something with substance in you, because this is natural and it's spiritual and it's whole. And if you eat this, you will look like him and you will be prepared for his coming. And in the fulfillment and culmination of all things, we will be number three. Last but not least, we will be his. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's our Savior, our Lord, our Messiah, and he's our coming King. And we will gather unto him. In the fulfillment, it's all about him. You know, in Philippians chapter 2, it talks about how the Lord forfeited the authority or the benefit. That's what I would say, the benefit or the privilege of his Godhead. He came in and he put flesh on and he had to learn obedience and to the point of death and being death on the cross. And then we get to this intersection within this scripture passage and it says, therefore, because a lot of times when we read these passages and say, why did God have to do this? And then there's a therefore. When I ask why, God says, therefore. And then he says these words. He says, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. They will bow, they will confess when they hear his name. Amen? Because we will be his. I will have understanding that I am fully his and he is fully mine. His presence will be, has always been, the prize. Every encounter, every worship experience, every devotion that we've ever read, every declaration, every decision will be experienced in greater measure as we fully stand in the presence of the King. There will be no longer any questions like, I wish I could only see him or touch him, because you will see him and you will touch him. There will be no longer, I wish I could just get closer, because we will be close. We will be with him, right? Amen. You know, in the marriage class, we talk a lot about covenant, and we are the bride of Christ, and he is the bridegroom. And so anytime we talk about marriage, we talk about how marriage is a furnace. Why is that? Because if you want a successful marriage, it has to be less about you and more about them. If you want to have a passion-filled, successful marriage, then you need to have two words in your marriage. And they start with S. And it's not the one the men are thinking of right now. Right? It's sacrifice and it's service. If you will sacrifice and you will service in your marriage, you will receive the full benefit of that marriage, because covenant multiplies us. It refines us. And within a marriage, we become one heart, one flesh, and one spirit. And our marriages here on the earth reflect the image of God in the heavens. And so here on the earth, if we were to have a wedding today, everyone would gather, and then the music would come, and the ladies would come down, and they would fill the altar. And we wouldn't pay much attention to the groom, would we? At some point, I would look, and I would say, please stand, and everybody's gaze would be at the bride. But it will not be that way in glory. It will not be that way in fulfillment. Because when he comes, all eyes will be on Jesus, the bridegroom. He will be the object of our affection, because everyone in attendance will be the bride. There will be no audience. Everyone will face forward, and everyone will gaze upon his glory and his throne. If you have your Bibles with you, or it's up on the screen in Revelation 19, I just want you to hear this and flow into this and receive this morning. It says, now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And I love this scripture. It says, and he who sat on it was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and his head there were many crowns. And he had a name written that no one except for him part of the matter. And I will tell you right now that if you're not hearing from God, you're probably offended. If you're not hearing from him, if you haven't heard his voice, if you feel like he's not speaking, there's probably something anchored in your heart that's not of God. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of fulfillment. Today is the day. This is the season of revival. I don't want to miss it because I held on to a prior season. I never want to miss it because I held on to what was. Amen. I want my hands free for what is. Free for what is. Because here's the thing. As you stand and see him face to face, you will forget everything they've done. It won't even matter because your focus will be on the one true and faithful. Why not step into that today? Can we just stand together and have the worship team come? We're going to open the altar. You know how the spaceship is preparing for launch. She felt like that's what the Lord was saying over this house, is that we are preparing for launch. But as we prepare to launch, before there even is an ascent, you know how the smoke starts to billow and it starts to press out into the region. I believe that that's a prophetic word over this house, that the Lord's about ready to launch us. And those that are in proximity will taste and drink from our sacrifice. I also believe this. I believe that revival, I hesitate to say it, but I believe that it's going to be initiated in this service. Not that the first service, they've been there, done that, and they're ready to do that again. But the Lord's bringing a fire to this house. And there's a generation that resides here that has not tasted or seen the goodness of God yet. Are you ready, church? Do you want the fulfillment? It's going to cost you. We have not come this far to turn back now. You hear me? We have not come. I am not stopping on six. You hear, I am not stopping. We are going the whole way in. We are going the whole way in. And I'm following Pastor Randy, and I hope you guys are following us, because God has something for us. Do you want it? You're going to have to hunger and thirst. You have to crucify your flesh. You have to make things right in your home. You're going to have to forgive the unforgivable. Father in heaven, we want all of you, whatever you have, whatever it looks like. We repent of trying to figure it out. I repent of trying to figure it out. Bring healing to this city and this church, to these marriages, to our staff. Forgive us. Forgive me. I just want to see you. We just want to see you. We bless you.
Thanks for listening to this message from Oakland Church. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.